If you will, you can turn with me this morning to Malachi chapter 1. And this morning I want to talk a little bit about vision in the church. And I want to talk about vision in the church not because I don't think that this church or most churches don't have vision. I think that they do. But I think that a lot of churches and a lot of people can get in the habit of just riding on the coattails of the older vision, and they don't know how to get new vision. And it's not that there's a problem with old vision. It's not that there's a problem with the old vision, but we need new vision, right? So, for example, the church that I go to up in Washington is about 20 years old. The building itself is 20 years old. And we've got a sanctuary in the center of the church, and there's a wing that runs off one direction. There's Sunday school classrooms in there. Now, my pastor, you've met David Watson. He's been down here before. My pastor was walking the grounds. This grounds where my church is at, it used to be a lumber yard, and it's a big place. And he was walking the grounds, and he was praying. And everywhere he'd pray, God would show him vision for the church. And he told me when he was praying, he saw a vision of another wing coming out the other side of that church, right? That's a new vision. A couple of months after that, he was digging around through the lockbox in a church. There's a closet, and it's musty, and it's full of old papers and all this. And he pulled out the 20-year-old plans for the church. And the vision of that church, when they had originally designed it, was meant to have another wing going out, right? That's the old vision. And it came in with a new vision. Amen? We got to have old, and we got to have new vision. Well, Malachi chapter 1 and 1 says this. It says, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi." It's the burden that Malachi was given to Israel. Now, what is a burden? A burden is a heavy load, right? It's something with weight. It's something that's difficult to bear. That's what we think of when we think of a burden. Malachi, he was this Old Testament prophet, right? And God gave him a burden for the people of Israel. You see, what Israel was doing, they weren't giving God their first anymore. They were giving God their last. They weren't giving them their good fruits, but they were giving them the leftovers. And God laid that burden on Malachi to go and to straighten them out. And so Malachi obeyed God, and he delivered that burden. See, it's not just you, Mike. They like me too. See? Yep, they do. And Malachi obeyed, and he delivered his burden to Israel so that they could repent. That was his duty, and that was what his reasonable service was. Can you say reasonable service?
Reasonable
service. All right, Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Right? Christ was our living sacrifice, right? Ultimately, he bore the burden of the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He bore the burden of the cross so that we could have victory over sin. But as a church, I think we've maybe lost a little bit of our understanding about the ways of God. See, Christ bore that burden, but now we have a responsibility, don't we? What is our responsibility? It's to be a living sacrifice. It's to be holy. And it's to be acceptable to God. We have a job. We have a burden, right? And I think that our problem is, a lot of times, we don't know even what that burden is. We've lost our ability to discern the will of God. Why? Because we've been riding on the coattails of other people. And we don't go get it ourselves. And furthermore, I think we've lost our want to. We don't want to be holy. We don't want to be a living sacrifice. We don't want to be acceptable to God. We want to do what we want to do. We don't want to worry about the burdens that God would have us bear. But the fact is, we're supposed to bear burdens, just like Malachi. God sends us to bear burdens. And how do we find out what those burdens are? Vision. It's vision. We were talking last night with Pastor Bob and Brother Chuck, and we were talking about fishing, and Brother Mike was there, and talking about how much we like fishing. And we were talking about fly fishing and pond fishing and river fishing, and I like it all. I love to fish. And kind of like Mike, I like to fish because it's a place that I can go and just get away and just pray and spend some time with God. I was sitting this morning, so I live in Wellman, and just on the north side of Wellman's the North English River. It's just a little river. It's Podunk. And I went out to go fishing this spring, and I got all my stuff, and I got a little backpack that I take, and I got my fishing rod, and I got my chair, and I started walking off. And I like to go off about, maybe half hour, 45 minutes before dark, and find a nice spot out in the middle of nowhere on some sandbar that I can just sit and fish. And it was so good because I went out there, and I found the sandbar, and there's this big old bank, and you got to kind of fall down, roll down the bank, throw all your stuff down there, you know. And I got all set up, and I found this perfect spot where I could cast downstream. There's a little meander there. And I got all my bait on, I got hooked up, and I threw out, and then I just sat. And usually you can wait just a little bit because the fish, they really start going when it gets dark. So you can just sit there for a little bit. It's a perfect time to pray. It is. And I started praying that night. And I didn't just say, oh, Lord, fix the world. But I spent time that evening in specific prayers, right? I started praying, and there was something specific on my heart. And I started praying over it, and I was just waiting and praying and praying. And I was having a little conversation with God. How do we fix these problems? How do we fix these problems? And I probably prayed for about 10 minutes about that. And then when I get done praying about something, I get done having a conversation, I begin to praise God, right? As soon as I began to praise God, my line went, I had a fish on. I started working that fish, and I brought that thing in, and it was a nice catfish. I could see it. And I reached down to grab that catfish, and as soon as I touched that catfish, the Spirit spoke to me. He spoke to me about that. And he said, Matthew, that is your burden. Do it. That's what he said. It was a specific prayer. It was a specific prayer. And as soon as I touched that fish, he said, that's right. You got it right. That 10 minutes, what we were talking about, that's right. Go do it. That's good. Amen. Get this. I did that for about an hour. And every single thing I brought to the Lord, as soon as I would begin to praise him after praying about it, that fish would go, I'm telling you, right then, and I would bring it in and I would touch it and he would say, that's your burden. Go. If it was my family, if it was my children, if it was my marriage, if it was my church, there's a homeless guy on the street corner in Iowa City, and I've been praying about him. I say, that old bum, I don't want to give him nothing. And he said, go. I bought him a sandwich the next day. After about an hour of doing that and him telling me go every single time, I prayed about something. And after that 10 minutes or so, I started to praise God again. And my line went just like it had every other time. And I started working that fish. And I reeled him probably about halfway in, and it stopped. And I, oh man, I got a snag of some kind. I got up out of my chair. It's pitch black, you know, now in the river. And I start working my way down the river. And I'm down the river, and I'm reeling and reeling, and I'm getting all the way down here. I finally get to the point, and I say, I'm not pulling down anymore. I'm pulling up. And I look out there. I get on my flashlight. And I had cast clean over a tree limb. And I had the biggest catfish yet. This was a beautiful catfish. And his head was just hanging out of the water. I said, oh, no. So I started pulling like this. And when I'd pull, he'd come up out of the water. And I'd start pulling a little faster like this. And he started a pendulum like this. And I said, I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him. And I must have done that for 15 minutes. And I was determined. But the water was, it was spring. The water's still cold. I didn't want to get my toes wet. I wasn't going in after him. And he was just doing this. I'm telling you what, that fish had the ride of his life. I tell you what. I did that, and I struggled for, I mean, it seemed like forever. And then the Spirit spoke. And he said, Matthew, that one's not yours. Amen. Man. Man. I pulled that line all the way up to the tree limb, and I busted it, and I let him go. Because when it's not yours, you got no business being a part of it. Church, that night on the riverbank, that's called vision. And how do we get it? We get it through communion with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Why don't we as the church get answers to our prayers like that? Like I received that night on the riverbank? It's because we don't have vision. We're riding off the coattails of other people's visions. We're riding off the pastor's vision. We should have our own vision. Amen. Amen? 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 says, and the child of Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. You see, hearing from the Lord was precious in that time of Samuel because, and it was rare because nobody spoke to God, right? Nobody spoke to God, and because nobody spoke to God, because there was no open vision, people forgot what the voice of God sounded like. It was rare in those days. The Hebrew word for precious, it says the word of the Lord was precious. The Hebrew word for that is yakar. It's an adjective, and it can mean a few things. It can mean valuable. It can mean prized. It can mean rare. That's what I think of when I think of precious. Yeah. But what it can also mean is withdrawn. Withdrawn. And if you look at the root of that word, it's a verb. And it means to alienate or to dislocate or to abandon oneself. You see, what they had done, it wasn't God. It was the people had withdrawn from God. And they had no vision from God at that time. There was no open vision. There was no prophets. There were no teachers. There were no preachers. There were no evangelists. There were none of these ministries happening. Nobody was listening to God. And they didn't listen for so long that they forgot even what his voice sounded like. They didn't know. But God didn't make himself precious. No, the people made God precious. The people made God precious. Listen carefully today, church, because this is good. I believe that today we are in a place where the word of the Lord grows more and more precious. I believe that we're in a place where vision decreases with each passing saint of God. That's truly what I believe. And if we're not careful, we can easily end up as a people with no vision, that don't know the voice of the Lord, even if it were to call to us in our sleep. I think we're headed in that trajectory. People need vision. So let me ask you a question. Do you recognize the voice of the Lord? Now, I think most people in this house today would immediately say, yeah. But think about it. Think really about it. Do you recognize the voice of the Lord? Can you differentiate the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, bearing witness to your spirit? Do you know when he's trying to do that? Do you respond daily to what the Spirit is prompting you to do? Those are some tough questions. We're supposed to pray continually, though. We're supposed to pray continually. That's allowing the Holy Spirit to bear witness to us continually. And how do we know if we're doing it? Do you know, we were talking, I think it was Mike Job, we were sitting outside on Friday night, and we started talking about the difference between soil and dirt. Watch out, soil guy just said dirt. Do you know what the difference is between soil and dirt? There's two things. Soil has form, dirt does not. Soil has life, and dirt does not. My Bible says in Genesis 2, God formed us in his own image, and then he breathed life into us. He created a soil. Did you know you were soil? There's a picture that always hung on my mother's bulletin, and it was this little grumpy kid, and it said, God don't make no junk. That's right. Well, God don't make no dirt either. He made you a soil. and he made you full of life, and he formed you in his own image. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. What's the soil do? What's its purpose? The soil has one main purpose. It's to be a medium to bear fruit. That's what the soil does. It allows plants to grow. It allows those plants to bear fruit. And eventually those fruits feed things like us. And it all goes back around, right? It does it in two ways. I know I'm getting a little soily here, but I'm going to tell you about how soil works. Getting a little dirty. Soil does it in two ways. One has to do with water. There's three parts to soil. It's really easy. There's sand, there's silt, and there's clay. The sand gets rid of too much water. The silt holds on to the water that the plants need. And the clay does something really neat. The clay is a magnet in the soil. It is. It's negatively charged. It's just like a magnet. And what it does is it holds on to nutrients. So all the nutrients that the plant needs, all the nitrogen, the phosphorus, the potassium, all these things you think about what a plant needs to grow and then to bear fruit, it's held on the soil because it's positively charged and the soil is negative. So it can hold on to it, right? Right? Okay, am I losing everybody? No. Guess what else is positively charged that can hold on in the soil? There's poison. There's poison that's positively charged that can be held on. Do you ever read in the Old Testament about these guys and they'd go out and war with each other, and when they were done warring with each other, the winter, they'd go over there and they'd sow the whole land with salt? You know why they did that? Salt, just think about salt. Let's say sodium chloride, that's table salt. The sodium in that salt is positively charged. And what it does, when you put that in the soil, it breaks apart from the chloride, and it goes and it ties up the soil. You ever drink salt water? What happens when you drink salt water? You get thirsty. What happens is you put all that sodium in the soil, and then the soil becomes more thirsty than the plant, and it starts sucking everything back out of the plant rather than putting it in. It starts drawing it in, right? That's what poison does. That's what the Spirit's doing. The nutrient is the Holy Spirit. You are a soil, right? And he's trying to put nutrients, and you need to commune with him. You need nutrients in here so that you can give it to the plant. Sin is the poison. And when you have sin in your life, you start taking instead of giving. That's what's interesting. You can't see it. I can look at an amazing soil that can grow a bumper crop. And I can look at a soil that won't grow a thing. It's dead. And I can't see it. It's a chemical problem. In our case, it's a spiritual problem. How do we know? We know it by our fruit. We know it by our fruit. If we're bearing fruit, then we know that we've got vision. That's where I'm getting at here. If you don't see fruit, if you don't see fruit bearing in your life, that is evidence that you are lacking vision. Yep. Amen? Yep. Let me ask it again. Do you recognize the voice of the Lord? Can you differentiate the Spirit of God bearing witness to your spirit? Because if you can't, I would say there is poison in your life. Amen. And it needs to be gone. Yes. There's other times, excuse me, I'm going to grab a... Woo. There are other times where we can recognize the voice of the Lord, but we just flat choose to ignore it. That's the want to. Do I want to be a living sacrifice today? Do I want to be holy, and do I want to be acceptable to God? I'm going to tell you this because it's funny. I am a picky person. I know it. You can ask Mike. For example, our music equipment, it's got a home in Iowa City. It's got a little closet. And in that closet, everything's got a specific spot. And when it decides to go somewhere, it goes to its trailer, to its vacation home, and it's got a specific spot. And then when we get where we're going, it comes out and it goes on a day trip here or there, and then it goes back to its vacation home in a specific spot. I have specific spots for things. Well, one is because I'm picky, and two is because I have a terrible memory. And if it's not in its spot, I'll never find it again. I was sitting in my garage here a couple of months ago, and I needed a thumb ratchet. A thumb ratchet is just a little ratchet without a handle, right? And I needed it to work on my car. I went to my toolbox with ratchets, because that's how I am. I put things in their spot. And it wasn't there. I looked all through it, and it wasn't there. I said, well, that's not good. I said, it has to be right here. The Spirit spoke to me right then. And he said, Matthew, it's clear across the room on the air compressor. I said, no, it's not, because I'm a picky person, and I put my things away, and I never used it over there. So I said, it must have just fallen right here. So I started to look through the next toolbox, and then I looked through the next toolbox. And then below that, I had my tackle box from where I was fishing that night when God spoke. And I started digging through the tackle box, and I couldn't find it. Over here, next to my toolboxes, there's a refrigerator. I started digging through the fridge. I looked through the worm containers. I was peering around. I was looking in the freezer. I couldn't find that anywhere. And the Spirit said again, it's over on the air compressor. Stop being dumb. I said, fine. Have it your way. And I walked over to the air compressor, and I picked up my tool, and I went and finished my job. Did I hear the Spirit?
Yes.
Yeah. What got in the way? My pride. I was too proud because I had a spot for it. Amen?
Amen.
It's not just hearing from the Lord and knowing how to hear from the Lord, but it's actually being willing to respond, because a lot of times when the Spirit speaks, you're not going to like it. He doesn't speak to us comfortable things very often. He speaks to us things that are going to either stretch us or stretch somebody else. And it's not fun to do either. It's not fun to do either. Let me tell you something. If you can't answer yes to all those questions that I'm asking, do you recognize the voice of the Lord? Can you differentiate the Spirit of God bearing witness to your spirit? And do you respond daily to what the Spirit is prompting you to do? If you can't answer yes to those questions, then I believe that the Lord may be precious to you. God is begging opportunity to commune with us. That's what he wants to do. Everywhere we go, we can receive vision from the Holy Spirit. And we're called to do so, to pray continually. We just got to block out enough of the noise to let him speak in that small, still voice. And so many of us, we don't have ears that can even hear it. We don't even know how to do it. I gotta tell you one more story about fishing, because this has just been crazy this year. About a month after I had my experience on the riverbank catfishing, I went down to southern Missouri with my grandfather-in-law, and he's been taking me down fly fishing in southern Missouri before I even married my wife, and his whole family, my wife's great aunts and cousins and all these Yamahoos, all come down there to Missouri, and we all go fishing together. And there's a place down there at the spring of the current river. It's Montauk State Park. And there's a place down there away from the spring a little bit. There's a dam. And there's a place there where a lot of people usually gather to fish. We call it the social hole because, you know, you're fly fishing and there's people. And then, you know, it's hard to fish there. Well, we started fishing. And what we were doing is what you call drifting. And drifting is essentially just bobber fishing when you're fly fishing. And you just put a bobber on, you cast upstream, and you just let it drift down. You just wait for the trout to come along. And the water was about 4 feet deep. The water was about 4 feet deep. And I started drifting down through there this spring, and I wasn't catching anything. Nobody else was catching anything either. And the Spirit spoke to me. He's been doing this lately. And he said, Matthew, go deeper. I said, you're nuts. I was already fishing, you know, 3 to 4 feet deep in 4 foot of water. And I just kept on fishing. I must have sat there for 10. I'm telling you, folks, I got pride. I can hear the voice, but I don't want to respond to it sometimes. He kept telling me that, and I kept drifting, wasting time. He said, go deeper. And I said, fine, I'll go deeper. And I raised my bobber up to about 6 feet. And I cast out, and I immediately caught a beautiful trout. I immediately caught a beautiful trout, 6 feet in 4 feet of water. I said, okay, well, that was fun. And I start casting again. Nothing. Nothing. And then he said, go deeper. Said, you're nuts. No, I'm already 6 feet in 4 feet of water. This guy's already starting to look, you know. No. I kept casting, wasting time. Well, after a couple of minutes, a few more casts, I said, fine, have it your way. And I raised that bobber up to 8 feet. Now I had 8 foot of line in a 4 foot hole. I can't even hardly cast 8 foot deep. You know, that's hard to do fly fishing. I cast that thing out there and it starts drifting, and right in front of my face, wham, there's a trout. And I'm bringing that thing in. Thought, huh. All right, I got it. My pride got in the way. I understand. I get the lesson. It's all good. I started doing it again. Nothing. Nothing. I'm like, Lord, I learned my lesson. I learned my lesson. I got it. You spoke to me. I did it. I'm 8 foot deep in 4 foot of water, right? He said, go deeper. I'm not lying, church. He said, go deeper. And this time, I had it figured out. I immediately responded to the Spirit. I raised that thing 2 more feet. And I cast that thing out in 10 foot deep fishing in 4 foot of water. And I filled my stringer. I filled my wife's some kind of cousin's stringer. I filled my wife's great aunt's stringer. The guy next to her, I filled her stringer with these beautiful trout. My grandfather-in-law that takes me fishing was sitting on the bank talking to another guy, and he says, will you get him out of the water? He's killing it. Church, the Spirit got his point across at 8 feet deep.
That's right.
He didn't have to go to 10 feet, and he didn't have to fill the stringers of everybody around me with these beautiful trout. Amen. He didn't have to. I learned my lesson at 8 feet. I really did. That's called a miracle, for one. And for two, I kind of let my pride go, and it was pretty good. But he continued to 10 foot deep, and he filled those stringers. And this is why I believe he did that. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Amen. Amen? God gives me the desires of my heart. My desire that day was to catch a fish, right? But he doesn't just give us our first request. That's not how it works. No, when the fish are hitting, you say, I just want one more. I just want one more. And you see, when we have vision, when we get vision, when we get that first one, you always just want one more. Amen? You start to crave it. You start to thirst for it. And I think that's why God let me go on down to 10 feet, and he wanted to show me that he would give me the desires of my heart, and he made me want it and want it and want it. Now I just want to go fishing because I want that again. He made me crave it. Once you get vision, you don't ever want to not have vision. Amen? And if you don't crave it, if you don't thirst for it, if you're not sitting there begging for it, if you're not praying continually, because that's what will end up happening, is you'll pray continually looking for that vision. If you're not in that place today, church, the Lord may be precious to you. Amen? But there's no limit to God's blessing. Do you believe that? He could have filled every stringer in that entire river. There's no limit to God's blessing. He will give you the desires of your heart. You see, Jesus took the burden of the cross. He took the burden of the cross so that we could have the desires of our heart each time we return to the throne. And we can do that all the time. We can do it all the time. You know, sin and the world and all these things, they can look appealing for a time. That poison that can get into our soil can look appealing for a time, but those are temporary things. Amen? Those are temporary things. They're fleshly desires. Without Jesus' burden of the cross, we've got nothing. We would die to that sin and the desires of our flesh. But God wants to give us the desires of our heart. But we've got to seek it. We've got to seek it. Come on, see. Thank God that Jesus' burden for us was to bear all of our fleshly nature and to give us the godly desires of our heart. I want to ask the questions once more this morning. Do you have burdens this morning in your life? Do you have burdens in your life? I think everybody could say yes, we have burdens in our life. Do you know whether you're supposed to keep that burden or give it away? Church, Mike's right. I started on that grad student project, and now I'm back in school. I'm a student at the University of Iowa in Iowa State, and I got a wife and two kids. I travel with this ministry, and I got a home church. My dad calls me every weekend, wanting me to come home and help him on the farm. You know, there's burdens here, and I can't do it all. I went out that night looking for help and guidance because, let me tell you, church, there's a lot of good things. I don't know that I do anything that's easy to say no to. There's nothing bad that I do, but you can't say yes to everything. Well, that's what the Spirit's going to help you do. He's going to help you decide which burdens to keep and which burdens to throw back. Amen? Do you have open vision this morning? When the Spirit of God speaks, do you recognize it? And if you do, do you respond to it? Do you fish deeper when you're told to? If you hear the Lord, do you actually respond or do you let your pride get in the way? Do you let your fear get in the way? Do you pray specific prayers? That night on the riverbank, I wasn't saying, God, fix everything. But I was coming to Him with specific prayers and specific things. Because if you pray specific prayers, you'll get specific answers. Amen? Amen. Do you remember here a couple of years ago, I preached a word here, and it was about Honi, the circle maker. And what did Honi do? They were in a time of drought, right? They were in a time of drought, and the people came to Honi, this man of prayer, and they said, Honi, go to God and get us some rain. And so what did he do first? He went into the circle, and he said, God, give us a little bit of rain. And God sprinkled, not even enough hardly to get the ground wet. And the people complained, and they came back to him and said, Honi, this isn't doing nothing. Get back in that circle. And Honi said, hey, Lord, we need rain. And so God sent a flood, and it was going to drown them out, and it was going to kill them. But then, when they came back again and said, Honi, this isn't good, he got back in that circle one more time, and he prayed a specific prayer to God. He said, God, we don't need just a little bit of rain, not just a little bit of rain that's just enough to get us out of this commitment of prayer. We don't need too much rain that's going to cause floods and that's going to kill people, but we need just the right amount of rain to fill the cisterns. We need just the right amount of rain to feed the crops. And guess what God did? He sent the right amount of rain. That's called a specific prayer, and that's what we need to do. Church, I think if you lack vision this morning, if you lack vision this morning, I want you to come up. I want you to come up to the altar, and I want you to draw a circle around specific things in your life. Start to pray specific prayers and take as long as it takes to start getting answers to those specific prayers, because the Spirit will speak. And if you're here this morning and you say, I don't think I can even hear that Spirit, my ears aren't tuned to it anymore, and I want you to come up here too, because we're going to pray for you to get some new ears this morning. Amen? New ears this morning. Come on, church. I know there's burdens in this place, and we all need direction. Come up here and get your direction and stay as long as it takes to get it. Amen? Amen. Amen.